When you set out on a journey, you never quite know when or how you'll arrive at your destination.
Oh, our rescue vehicle is here.
The best laid plans of mice, men, and maybe Kilkenny cats. At any rate, our road to Kilkenny stops short of the destination. Engine failure meaning a roadside wait and eventual rescue by a man from Carlow. Barry Hayden of Rice Recovery saves the day, and you enter Kilkenny in a rescue truck.
Barry took a Carlow man to get us safely into Kilkenny.
With the way the modern cars are built nowadays, we'll always be in a job. The time the engine was perfected was when we had steam. Kilkenny is just always buzzing anyway. Live music there all the time. And no matter what you do in Kilkenny, I think you're going to be busy. It's just one of them cities that attracts so many people. And
how many of these might you do in a day, Barry?
It varies every day. It's gone dangerous though. It's the quality of driving has just gone. You'd see it up on the motorway there, like we're in the hard shoulder trying to lift a car. And you'd see cars coming down and they're nearly hitting the wing mirror of the truck. Like, you know, when we're in the hard shoulder from motorway, you have a yellow line stopping. Do you know what I mean? That's all that's between us and a car.
Yes. Barry, you're a gentleman and a saviour.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
You have everything. You know where you're going then back to get your...
You're listening to The County Measure. I'm Vincent Woods. We're making a journey around Ireland 100 years after independence and partition to get a measure, to get many measures of all 32 counties. We're looking at place, landscape, and the people who shape their lives within these boundaries of community and county. In this series, I'm hoping to get a fresh understanding of each county and its people as we shape a radio atlas of Ireland. Back on the road with the whin, whitethorn and dandelion, spring dotting the landscape.
Just outside Callan in South Kilkenny, beautiful morning, and we're on the way to meet some Kilkenny cats. The story, of course, of the Kilkenny cats, two cats fighting till there's nothing left of them but the two tails. And it has its origins somewhere in the early 1800s and became a recognised simile for two sides that would fight till to the death. But happier story, we're going to visit a cattery run by a woman called Laura Roberts, and I presume I'll find a group of very happy Kilkenny cats.
What a beautiful place.
Thank you. I'm slightly distracted. I've just found a sparrow hawk in our shed that I was trying to get out.
No.
Yeah. Well, my little one was trying to get involved.
Lucky cats that are here in this beautiful place.
Thank you.
And
it's nice and peaceful.
Tell me about the name for your cattery.
Cuivreann. It's the Irish for sort of sanctuary, fields, open area. It's a lot of things all around that sort of, but mainly around sanctuary and peaceful and that.
Broody, you coming to say hello?
Hello.
That's my little six-month-old.
Beautiful. What's the name?
His
name?
Rudy. Don't bite the presenter, Rudy.
No, I know. You're living up to the name of the Kilkenny cats.
He's only 6 months still.
I know,
everything is a game, everything is just...
No, the bite wasn't too severe.
You won't sue me or anything,
though. No, not at
all. Do you want to see the cattery?
I'd love to, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone coming to say hello?
So each resident cat has its own little spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a little cat
Yeah. Cat apartment.
I suppose they're like small individual garden sheds for each cat. Each cat has an own individual one. They're fully insulated and heated, nice and cosy. And then coming out, they have a cat flap from that out into the run, totally wired round, it's covered. And then from that, there's a fully wired round corridor, so there can be no escapees.
Oh, there's a lovely...
Yeah, that's Mo. You're a tired old boy, aren't you, Mo? Aren't you coming out? That's a grumpy face.
It's lovely. It's a bit of an owl face,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the maximum number you'd have at the time?
The general, I'd normally have about maybe 10 or 12 in. Yeah. But what? Is that you, Claude? Oh, Claude wants to say hello. Are you having to be out, Claude?
Did you love cats from...
Yeah, I've always loved animals, cats in particular, and then started looking into catteries, and I travelled around Ireland looking at different ones, and this is now going back 25 years. There wasn't a lot of very good quality ones around at that stage, so it looked further afield, and then went ahead, and now it's become a really big business. Then it was just sort of very much tacked onto kennels or whatever, but so many more people are taking good care of their cats, which is great to see. Hello, Claude. Do you want some treats? Would you like a treat? Come on then, let me in. Good boy. Good boy. No, you can't come out. Come on. Good boy. That's it. Good boy. In general, cats don't like a change to their routine. And so obviously the first time they come, they're going to hate it. But then as soon as they settle in, I do everything routine. They come the same feed, the same time every day, clean, all that pretty much so. Now, various owners, some say that when they go home, oh yeah, they won't talk to them for a day or two, or they'll sulk, or they have to go, they'll sulk until they get a tin of tuna or something like that. But and then others just take it on in their stride. But yeah.
It's a great spot.
On a country road outside Cannon, I meet two men busy at work on a bit of hedge trimming and the like. But no day is too busy for local John Proctor and his Dublin friend Sean Maguire to take time for a laugh and a chat with a passing stranger.
How long have you been coming from Dublin now to put shape on the Minky Kenny?
Nearly 40 years. Yeah, I'm married to a Kilkenny girl. We're 28 years married, so...
And well, you're putting good shape on this place. Yeah, I love the inch weak hedges. You don't see them so much anymore.
No, you don't see them now anymore. There's too much work in them, you see. I was a gardener for about 30 years, 35 years. So.
That's right, yeah. It's great garden county,
Only thing is, I'm glad I haven't did now this year.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't get the grass cut.
Oh, sure.
No?
No, it's terrible.
No. You used to have 23 gardens that time. Yeah. That's when I was a young lad and was able to run around.
You're not an old lad.
Oh, the bones are beginning to creak.
What townland are we in here?
Castle Tobin West. The other side of the road is Maxtown.
There you have Slieve Le Mans. You can't see it now.
Oh, yeah.
It's over that way.
Yeah. So we're very close to Tip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the border. You're on the border. Near the border.
Oh, God, you are.
Well, we won't mention them. Keep them out with the coyote. Keep
them out.
I remember on the one or two occasions I do bait Kilkenny that come from Mullinahone into the pubs in Callan just to stir it up. But if they lost, they wouldn't be seen.
Did you ever play, John? Did you ever play hard?
I did. I played in Callan one time and got a slap in the back of the head and I came home with blood and my mother said, that's the last time you're playing hard. They didn't come out looking for me, so I mustn't have been much good. They didn't sign me up or that.
We live without them.
Yeah, sure.
Finally, better things to be doing anyway. With the gardener. I think it's a drop of rain coming.
Yeah, it's coming now, lads.
Yeah. Shouldn't keep you from your work.
Ah, sure.
Nice meeting you now.
Lovely to meet you.
God bless.
Bye now.
Take care.
Now, John, we're famous.
You're listening to The County Measure and we're in Kilkenny. It's about 10 years since I was last here in Callan in South Kilkenny. It's a very handsome historical town. Like, I suppose, many Irish towns of its size, it's had its ups and downs over the decades. But it's going through a particular period of regeneration, artistic, environmental, and we'll hear about that in a while. But first we're going to go and have cup of coffee and a bit of lunch in Fennelly's lovely cafe on Bridge Street, garnering all kinds of awards, best cafe in Kilkenny and Leinster in Ireland, and a great spot.
Hello.
So we're here in Fennelly's in Callan, and I've just met a man with a very striking, good Kilkenny coloured jacket.
Yes, yes.
Black and amber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't raining or anything, I'd still always be wearing it.
And what's your name?
Jim is my name.
Jim Vincent, good to meet you. Would you go to any of the Kilkenny matches, hurling or football?
You don't have to tell me. I do. I go to all the Kilkenny matches, so I do. Between Kilkenny and my own club, I go to them all.
And what is your own club?
Carrickshock.
And are they doing well?
They're not able to do much training now. The way the rain is up and frying everything.
Sure.
When you're going to the next county, they'd say, this is the home of hurling. Yeah. But when they look down the owners' banners, they see that they're not. Yeah. That's Kilkenny.
It is.
You do know I'm from Tipperary, don't you?
I know.
We'll keep that quiet.
I know. It's all a bit of banter. It's all a bit of banter.
It sure is. Yeah. It's all a bit of crack. Yeah.
That Tipperary woman is Eton Houlihan. She runs Fennelly's of Callan and has a background in art and architecture. She's working on a project called Till Now. It's funded by Creative Ireland, and through art, design and community engagement, Till Now addresses our biodiversity crisis and climate change. One strand involves planting in numerous sites around Callan. I meet Eton and project producer Eilish Lavelle at the Moat Field, the site of a Norman Mutton Bailey and the historic centre of Callan.
So you can see straight ahead of us, we have the Scots Pines on top of the man-made hill. This is the Moat Lane Orchard here on the left, which we planted.
This was planted last year.
Is it all apple?
Yes, various different types. Miss Perry, Kilkenny Permain. So here we are.
So Eton, what is planted here?
We've planted goat willow, birch and alder and some mountain ash along there. We've also got Scots pines. Actually, I found a whole stand of yellow flag irises over by, which I hadn't seen when we were planting, so they've just come up.
Shall we move under the trees so we can get a bit of shelter?
Yeah, let's
I think
go
that'll be wise. Yeah.
We'll bring you closer to nature.
Yes. Exactly. This rain has been here since July.
There used to be dances up here.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. In the 50s and 60s, my dad went to them as well. He said there was barbed wire around the edges, so you had to pay your shilling to get in.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. Oh,
okay.
Well, that's a bit better.
There used to be about 5 or 6 heifers that were grazed on the moat here, so you can see the boher that was made by them, which is now maintained by the town's teenagers.
Indeed. Because you see the various spires, the towers.
So we can just see over the rooftops there to the Abbey Meadow, which is the other green site that we've done planting with. So I like to call them the two lungs of Callan Town, the Moat Field and the Abbey Meadow.
And they will be joined by the Green Bridge. So we're planning with the architect's Studio Weave to do a series of plantings of trees and planters along the connecting laneways. And that will be the Green Bridge across Bridge Street.
It's beautiful being able to see people walking across the bridge. It's lovely. Callan has a great history of the arts. You know, Tony O'Malley and Jane, Tom Kilroy, visual arts, writing, and then so many artists working in the town now.
There's 10 years that you've been working on various arts projects and arts-led regeneration on Bridge Street, and there's countless arts groups and artists that have been involved in that and leading that and showing the way.
Yeah.
And we're just picking up the baton on that. And bring back biodiversity, you know. I suppose it's just having a more of a wealth of different types of plants, different types of tree species that are native.
Yeah.
But just adding to what's here already.
Exactly.
So it's arts into regeneration at all levels.
Yeah.
Driving down this lovely sloping hill into a town I've always wanted to visit, Mullinavat in South Kilkenny, very close to the border with Waterford, Tipperary and Wexford, not too far away either. And we're going to meet a man called Tom Duggan. He wants to show us what's happening in and around the local GAA pitch. I suppose an example again of change, positive change in a community, something that's literally bringing the people out to walk in the environment. Tom, great to meet you. Yeah.
And you too, Vincent. A pleasure to welcome you to Mullinavat. Mullinavat, as they call it in Irish, which means the mill of the stick. There was a sawmill at the end of the village, beside the river. Before the bridge was built, the only way you could go across the river was there was a tree knocked across the river.
So like the old footsticks?
Like the old footsticks, yeah.
Yeah.
The mill then became Mullinavat, the mill of the stick.
Okay.
Mullinavat is a derivation of...
It's a lovely name.
Mullinavat, yeah.
It's a lovely name, yeah. We're here at the local, the Mullinavat GAA pitch.
We have a lovely new walkway, tarmac walkway, and it's floodlit and it's completely safe. That was badly needed and it has been a huge success and it has brought people into the hurling field.
And how long is this track to do the whole loop of it?
700 metres all around. Yeah. We're now in the process of widening that pitch. When we built the walkway here, we want to make it a bit wider. So you can see there's construction work on here, and you can see our chairman down here, John Jewelworth. He's the chairman of the club. He's currently digging the hole there now for the goalposts.
No, good.
So he epitomises the spirit, the can-do spirit.
Absolutely. Of Mullinavat. There's always work to be done.
Yeah, well, John Joe, lying on the grass now, trying to take out a stone out of a hole.
There used to be jokes about men staring into holes, but you're not. You're
this man is actually
you're doing the work.
He's doing the work.
Good on you.
Welcome to Mullinavat.
Good on you. Lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Fine pitch here, though, John.
It's nice. Yeah. Yeah. Two pitches are nice there now. Yeah. Hopefully, we'll get them up and open and get them filled here in the evening. Is what we want to do now.
Yeah.
We're actually like every other club in the country at the moment. We're our pitches are closed. They're too wet to train on at the moment. So
yeah.
Hope to get these poles standing here tomorrow now.
Right.
And be ready for the fine day.
Okay. We just have to wait for the fine day, as the fella says, and hopefully it'll come.
Hopefully it'll come,
Good to meet you.
Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Tom, I suppose hurling is such a part of Kilkenny identity, of the identity of the whole county.
Absolutely. I suppose we're not the biggest county in Ireland, but I suppose hurling, we're one of the most successful counties in Ireland at hurling, and hurling is our number one sport. It's in our DNA and it's what we live for, and we're hoping we'll be able to challenge for all Ireland honours again.
Yeah.
Won't be easy to knock Limerick off their perch, but we'll be doing our best.
Yeah, everything comes round.
That's right.
Hello.
Ladies.
Vincent Woods, County Major, RT. We're making a documentary about Kilkenny.
Tom.
Yeah. And Tom has been great. We're doing a loop of the walkway. I just wonder what this amenity means to you.
Having this amenity here, to me, has changed my life in the last couple of months. I'm encouraged to exercise. I enjoy exercise. like we're blow-ins, so you don't know as many people.
Too terrible.
So you do come down here and you're like, you'll meet somebody you never planned to meet. You'll have a walk, you'll have a chat, you'll get to know them. Plus it brings the GA to everybody else.
Yes.
I know sometimes there can be a sense of there's the GA and then there's everybody else. Everybody's down here. And I think that's fabulous for a community.
What are your names?
Kira Aylward.
Elaine O'Connor.
Lovely. Great to meet you.
Thanks.
Talk to you. Bye. That's the beauty of coming down to the walkway. You don't know who you're going to meet and get a bit of fresh air, a bit of exercise.
Keep
and,
moving.
And keep moving and take in the beauty that's around us.
Yeah.
I'll mind your ground, I'll mind your streets, I'll mind your home as it's minded me, and I'll keep it safe, I can guarantee.
Singer-songwriter Annika Kilkenny is a rising star and a native of Kilkenny City. If her name alone doesn't sing the county measure, then her song commissioned by this episode certainly does. She's even called it My Lovely Kilkenny.
With your hawthorn rose and your honeybees, nothing's as sweet as your cobblestone streets that make up the most of my lovely Kilkenny. I've been watching you so with such gracious intent, history in your bones, hope in your cement, in your streets they all sing, make a tonic ascent into what I've known since the day we met. With your hawthorn rose and your honeybees, nothing's as solidly sure as your streams that run through the heart of my lovely Kilkenny.
You're listening to The County Measure and we're in Kilkenny.
Look up. It's this beautiful round tower, part of St. Canice's Cathedral here in Kilkenny City. Believed to date to the 9th century, so it's the oldest standing structure in Kilkenny City, and how impressive it is. One of just two round towers in Ireland that one can climb 30 metres up, 100 feet up. It's a viewing platform, and off we go.
How are you finding the climb, strangers? The foundations are quite shallow, so this tower is leaning a little bit now. But don't worry, I'm sure it will stay up long enough for you to reach the top. On you go.
Ah, so six or seven sets of wooden staircases later, this splendid 360 degree view of Kilkenny City, the castle, you see St. John's, you see the Nore, the river, several of the bridges across it. And you see that pattern of the medieval city mixed with the modern, you know. It's that great juxtaposition of the traffic and the trucks and the buses, and then you spot a beautiful old medieval building. You wonder about, you know, who stood here over the centuries looking out, keeping watch, What were they watching for? What and who? But what a special place, mind you. Now there's the challenge of going down again. From St. Canice's to another of Kilkenny's intact architectural treasures, Roath House on Parliament Street, a rare and perfect example of a medieval merchant house in a city that was once a major centre of power and wealth in Ireland.
Vincent,
how are you? You're very welcome to Roath House.
Great to be here.
The house allows another view of the past and is an inspiring example of what can be held and valued in the present.
So it's on what's known as a burgage plot. So from street front all the way back to the original city wall. And it's how medieval towns at the time would have been laid out in long, narrow plots of land.
I meet General Manager Valerie O'Sullivan.
So here we are, Vincent, in what was formerly the Great Hall, where the Roath family would have entertained their guests, welcomed their business partners. It was the hub of the home, and as you can see, an absolutely beautiful restored building today, high ceilings, gorgeous oak beams, very simple wooden furniture, number of dressers, beautiful 17th century banqueting table. The one thing that we don't have in here that would have been at the time is tapestries. Mm. So they would have had tapestries on the wall for warmth, and that would have added decoration as well.
That is, I mean, this is a vivid example of the power of the merchant class, the changing layers of power in Kilkenny.
Yeah, so at that time in the late 16th century, Kilkenny was very well positioned. Its connection with the butlers of Ormond and Kilkenny Castle really protected Kilkenny from a lot of what was happening in the rest of the country. And 10 to 15 merchant families emerged as really the driving force behind Kilkenny's economic success, and they controlled all of social life, civic life. They were also at the forefront, I suppose, of bringing the Renaissance to Ireland. So very closely connected with the port in New Ross. John Roath was a merchant, obviously, so importing textiles, brass, spices, lots of different things that people
wine,
I'm sure, as well, that people wouldn't have had at the time.
And then, of course, you know, Kilkenny essentially was the capital of Ireland for a period, the Confederation of Kilkenny.
That's right, yes.
And again, Cromwell wiping that out. But there was that brief period, but really significant period where this house would have been a centre of all that, a centre of real power.
The flame shone brightly for a very short length of time.
Then the restoration, that was the 1960s. I mean,
yes.
Had the house been very run down before then?
So the Roath family lived here for about 100 years. They were dispossessed by Mr. Cromwell. And after that, there was a period of dereliction, and it went through a variety of different uses. It was used as an iron foundry. It was a tenement. There was a butcher shop here, a school at one stage. So lots of different things, but run down. And then the early part of the 19th century, then it was the period of restoration began. But ultimately, it was in the 1960s when it was purchased by Kilkenny Archaeological Society, spearheaded by Daisy Phelan and others, that saw the ultimate restoration of the house.
And that marvellous set of antlers over the fireplace.
The set of antlers standing at the height that that an Irish elk would have. So he was a pretty tall beast.
Ooh,
if you encountered him
exactly.
In the woods. Yeah, there's layers of stories. Yeah,
so many circles of life.
Yes, yeah.
The centuries, history, social change, and brilliant.
Yes,
a wonderful place.
Exit and stay on R704.
Like most Irish counties, Kilkenny has more than its share of roundabouts. You sometimes almost get dizzy going around roundabouts to get into town and out of towns. But I think by far the most striking entrance to a roundabout is here at Piltown in South Kilkenny, what's known as the Sham Castle, a monument to John Ponsonby, son of the Earl of Bessborough, who was believed lost and killed in the Napoleonic Wars in the early 1800s, but who came home safely. The Sham Castle was never quite completed, but it stands fairly solidly at the side of the roundabout that brings you into Piltown. And who'd have thought that we're connected in that way to the Napoleonic Wars?
In 300 metres, turn left onto R448.
Further down on Main Street, Susan O'Grady is busy cutting back ivy from a beech tree in her garden. I lean over the wall for a chat.
Hello.
Hello there.
Just up, somebody had said it was worth seeing the Sham Castle.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Wasn't that built as a tribute to somebody, somebody's son, and then he came back anyway?
Yeah.
Isn't that typical?
It's a living monument. You're still alive and you get a monument as well.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, does it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Even in the horrors of grief, you wouldn't build something like that.
No,
people think you'd have notions.
Oh, they were monumental times.
Yeah. So here we are, killing the ivy on a tree.
Oh, well, it's bringing life back to the tree, yeah.
I was talking to a tree surgeon, and apparently these trees could live for 300 years, but they'll be dying for 100 years of that from the inside. But it'll stay living till the end, if you know what I mean.
It's like ourselves.
Yeah, rotting from the inside. On that note...
You can't but be conscious of the whole equine element of Kilkenny, that huge connection to horse training, to horse riding, all the great stables and trainers and jockeys and horses that have emerged from here. And you wonder, what's the nursery of the industry in the county now? And you find yourself drawn to Kildalton College, just outside Piltown, Chagask Agricultural College, with a strong equine centre. This was the estate of the Ponsonby family, burned in 1923, restored, not lived in. That's now the centre of this agricultural college and the future of the equine industry in Kilkenny.
So my name is Alana King.
And I'm Annalene Bidenham.
So we're third year students. We come back and help like manage the yard and help supervise second year students. So at the moment they are getting ready to feed for the evening.
Yeah, like we'd be checking they're groomed, their feet picked out, making sure they're rugged if it's cold and they're not too warm on the rug if it needs to be taken off. And
And how many horses are here in the stables?
At the moment we have 37. When we're full at the start of the year we have 51.
And what drew you into this area of study?
I've had horses my whole life, so I've grown up with them, so it's kind of just natural to me, and I always knew I want to have a life with horses.
Mine would be a bit different now. I'm originally from South Africa, so I moved down to Ireland to come study in Kildalton. It's always just been there, yeah.
Could we go in and see?
Yeah.
One or two?
Yeah, it might be a bit loud, but...
<That's fine. laughs>
Feed time always gets a bit.
So this is the front yard, this is the main yard. So as you can see here, we just have the buckets lied out, ready for them to be fed.
Heads poking out.
Yeah,
they're all looking for their evening feeds.
So yeah, every horse gets fed individually, their own amount, going off their weight and the exercise and everything that they do. So yeah,
they do quite a lot of work here. They're in work 6 to 7 days a week, lunging, being ridden, jumping, and cross country.
They're active working horses in that sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not hanging about
yeah,
in the stables being fed.
So this
only.
Is Oscar.
Oscar.
He's one of the many that's been here for a good couple of years now.
Beauty.
He's loved by everybody. Some good jump on him now. He's lovely to jump.
What
he's
age
very,
is he?
Very good.
I'd say he's 16.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he's been here a good couple of years.
Kind of middle aged.
Mm.
Yeah.
Lovely looking kind of ginger fringe.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, no,
and
he's
mane. Mottled white coat. Gorgeous.
Yeah. He's been here for years. I've known him since my first year. You get to know them really well, and you get to nearly like them like your own horses at home, because you're spending so much time with them. And you get to know their normal routine and their behaviour, and being in the stables and just seeing the horses quite happy in themselves as well is always great.
So do you follow that journey from the really young horse coming in and you know being trained right through to the horse maybe leaving here?
Yes.
Yeah.
To go to the stables and take up a professional bike.
Yeah, and start producing and start jumping or whatever
they're going on to do with their life.
Yeah.
So this is going to be your lives, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely.
No leaving it now.
Lovely to meet you.
Very nice.
Nice to meet you
so
too.
Much. Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to The County Measure, and we're in Kilkenny.
The Friday bread line in Castle Comer. These men are miners. Now there are no mines.
Coming through the lovely town of Castle Comer in North Kilkenny, this town, this area with an extraordinary history of coal mining, of industry, developed by one family, the Wansford family from Yorkshire, who took the land of the O'Brennans, settled here. The Mining Heritage Museum, which we're heading to, is built on what was the site of the Wandsworths' house. Hundreds of men laid off here in 1969 when the last coal mine at Deer Park closed for good. And a lot of people emigrated, and a lot of their descendants come back here to Castle Comer with these inherited memories of coal and coal mining in the region.
The miners, 183 of them, got 1 week's notice after a lifetime in the mines. This pit has been closed for 8 months. Today, 77% of the miners, that's 142 men, are still out of work.
I've been a miner all my life.
My name is Niamh O'Neill. I'm from Coon and working here at the Discovery Park for the past 6 years.
So Niamh, tell me what we're looking at here, a wall of bricks, each with a name.
Back in the 90s, to get the museum up and running here in 2007, they decided to buy a brick to any of the families or the community here. Anyone who's coming home from America at the moment, it's a big tradition that they'll buy a brick and add it to it.
Great litany of names, and to the women of the colliery for their contribution to mining heritage, and to the courage of miners who died from miners' lung disease. Michael, miner and socialist, and Teresa, mother of six, Farrell. There's a world of history on this wall, isn't there?
It really is, and it's the first place a family come back to trace their family.
My name is Margaret McGraw. I taught the children of miners. The miners were very generous people, always. They worked hard, they earned their money, they spent it in town. The town was wealthy then.
You must have been relieved, though, as well, over the decades, to see young lads having a chance to get an education, to not have to go down the mines to see the change.
because it broke my heart at times when I was out the country in Kilpatrick. You know, a young fella had come to me maybe on a Friday evening and he'd say to me, I'm 14 tomorrow, I'm starting in the coal mine on Monday. And he would be a highly intelligent young man, he could have done anything. It was heartbreaking.
My name is John Coffey. I'm from Clock. I have a huge collection of old photographs from the area, mining and otherwise.
The history of radicalism and the unions, the organisation, that kind of rebellion and Nixie Bourne and the stance he took. I mean, it's an extraordinary saga, John,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Nixie was an amazing man. He died quite young in the early 70s. I mean, he went to Russia to a congress in Moscow in 1930 and he was a Republican. He fought the War of Independence, the Civil War. And they were excommunicated from the church that they actually built, the miners, in Monine Row.
Excommunicated in the church they built themselves.
Yeah, by, ironically, Bishop Collier. You know, where would you make it up? You know, it's
the power of a name.
Yeah.
John Dowd is my name. I was involved in buying the last pub in the village of Clock.
Tell me then about that, if like the community pub and the people who would gather there. I mean, do people still share stories of the coal mines and the miners and share those memories?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I suppose a group has come together at the last pub in the village and it was going for sale. And even when you walk into the pub, we have forces all over the place of different men in the mines. And anyone that walks in there can relate to the forces. You know, they had someone that's belonging to them was up on the wall there, and we were very keen to keep that there, the history of the mines, you know, and John was great, was there, he gave us some great forces there.
And what was it like then, you know, in 69, when Deer Park closed, all those men were thrown out of work?
Oh, yes, and what I remember is the big long line outside the unemployment office, the big long line of men waiting to get their dole. We had so much emigration. I suppose that the writing was on the wall early enough for the mines closing.
Joseph Kavanagh, I'm from Clock in North Kilkenny, and I would come from a mining family, would have been, I suppose, the first in generation wouldn't have gone down the mines. So my father and before him all went down. It was always said that we captured our history in song, you know, to keep in touch with the heritage of the area. So I would have written a few songs, but mainly on a coal mining theme.
Tell us a little bit about the song that you've written.
So I looked at it from a woman's perspective through the eyes of a mother and having to put her child down the mine because maybe her husband was better at this stage. You know, so many times because when it passed through the Deer Park, which was predominantly all red brick mining cottages at one stage, there's only one left now, and that's number 10, and that's where my mother was born. So I wrote it, it was called Colliery Boy.
The community is so strong that once you have someone, whether it be one generation down or five generations down, the stories and heritage and history are preserved.
School is a rover no more, you feel clover pushed to rue your toes as you run. No more you will play till the end of the day without a care in the world, for the times they're bad and your daddy's no lad, and his boots you must fill them for me. At 14, the man on just society. Colliery, colliery, colliery boy, you're going below, you mustn't dare cry, for the Deer Park is calling and soon you'll be crawling upon your side, for it seems in its dirt dark and wet, don't ever you fret, for there's miners to look out for thee, but stay close to them, son, till your day is done and the mouth of the tunnel you see. With your peace box in hand, come home safely to me.
Good fresh smell of country air. Here we are heading for the handball alley in Clock, just outside Castlecomer. Billy. Billy.
Vincent. How are you, Vincent?
Good to meet you.
Grand.
Good.
You're well, you found us.
A spring evening midweek in the small village of Clock. The thwack of a handball against a stone wall, and we step in to see a group of young athletes in a covered handball alley by the side of the road. They're among the youngest members of the local handball club, which is now 100 years old and has seen champions from county level to world championships. Billy Love is the juvenile coach.
These are two of our up-and-coming youngsters, Joseph Brennan, Ellie Roach. Joseph is under 15 and Ellie is under 14.
Great. And when did you start playing, Joseph? When did you start?
I started about 2 or 3 years ago. I could barely hit the ball over the line when I first started, but I'm getting there now at this point.
We have Joseph has two team All-Irelands with Kilkenny.
Good man.
And Ellie has Leinster Schools winner, and she would have a fail winner as well last year.
And Ellie, when did you start playing?
I started playing like around 2 years ago in the 40 by 20 alley.
And did you like it from the get-go? Did you like it from the start?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of sport all my life, and it's just another thing.
What do you play?
I play football, soccer, and camogie as well.
Sure. I couldn't miss it, so. What's the best thing about handball for you?
Probably just like meeting new people. You meet new friends, so, and you're like playing new people and that.
Is he a good coach as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Sometimes.
Holly Byrne, I believe I'm speaking to an All-Ireland champion.
Yes, we won the All-Ireland about 3 weeks ago.
Fantastic.
So, just for the minor doubles.
Brilliant. You're doing your Leaving Cert, is it next year?
Yes, I'm in fifth year currently.
Yeah. So. And did you train here?
Yeah, so I've been playing Clock since I've been about six. It's a great sport to make friends, like I'd have a lot of good friends in different counties.
Good friendly rivals.
Yeah, they'd be great friends until you meet them in an All-Ireland and it's like, yeah. Yeah, it would be friends after the game.
Yeah. Just watching you there, you give them a good hard whack. I mean, does it ever hurt your hand? Do you ever get
Before we train, we always warm up our hands to make sure that when our hands are nice and warm, then the ball doesn't hurt. But at first, you're cold, it'll hurt your hands then. Once you're used to it, though, you know, it gets a bit better, yeah.
Basically three things. It's good to think, quick in your feet and quick in your hands.
Yeah.
With both hands.
Yeah. Here on the quay in Greignamana, the beautiful seven arch bridge behind me, running across to Tinahinch in Carlow, cross the bridge and you're in another county. And the River Barrow in all its glory running beside me here. And I see two young women getting out of a car and they look like they're about to do a bit of business with boats. I've got to go and chat to them.
I'm a blow-in, I won't
claim
that now.
And are you
great? Oh, I'm blowing as well.
You're two blow-ins.
I'm South Kilkenny, like, so Slieveroo. We're right beside Waterford City, so yeah, we're Kilkenny people. We're not a...
Of course.
Still off the cats.
Of course.
Yeah. My name is Hannah Irish.
I'm Katie Gartland.
I bought a project boat, so I'll be here for the foreseeable. Blood, sweat and tears.
When you say a project boat, one you've got to do up and make your own. And
make my own.
Great.
Bit of work to me, but...
That's quite the joy, but it's great to have a challenge like that, too.
Yeah, such a location as well. Like
the power of the Barrow. I mean, it's really powerful river.
Oh, unreal. Like, you know, we've stayed in storms, like, on the boat, and you'd be there, like... am I going to go down the river and but it's beautiful.
But I love the bridge as well. It's so beautiful, those seven arches.
And it's a beautiful town, like, you know, the old buildings, you know, it's, you know, you'd fall in love with the place just walking around it.
Absolutely.
And especially here, like, you don't appreciate like the stone arches or the little things in life, but I think you come here and you're
reminded of it on Mount Leinster, like that view of Mount Leinster is stunning.
Yeah, and especially days like this really kind of highlighted,
sunny, lovely day like this.
Yeah.
I think everyone is looking forward to a good summer this year, and
hopefully,
30
yeah.
degrees and shorts and t-shirt weather. And
you'd have a great time working on your boat. A great summer project.
Yeah, hopefully you've got plenty of good days for it.
And I should now say that I'm Vincent Woods.
Vincent, lovely to meet you.
Great to meet you. The programme is called The County Measure. and all of the ones we make.
My name is Niamh Mulvey, and I'm a writer based in Kilkenny City. I've written a piece which is inspired by the neighbourhood I live in. My family and I moved back to Kilkenny a year and a half ago after more than a decade in London. While planning the move, I had a strong sense of plunging into the unknown, which was odd as Kilkenny is my hometown. But I had no idea how it was going to go for us, and it all felt a little out of control. But through fate and luck, we found a house that had been built by a woman who also left London for Kilkenny. And we felt right at home in its narrow shape, awkwardly placed bathroom and Edwardian plumbing. This woman was Ellen Odette Bischofsheim, a fabulously wealthy German-Jewish philanthropist who married into an Anglo-Irish landowning family from Kilkenny. Ellen, or Lady Desert, is known around here, but maybe not as much as she should be. She helped to fund and create, and this is not an exhaustive list, a woolen mill with housing for its workers, it's in one of these cottages that we live, a woodworker's factory, a tobacco plantation, two theatres, a handball alley, a garden village, a war hospital, and a bridge over the Nore. Many of her initiatives failed, and this seemed to cause her sadness later in life. I picture Lady Desert as a controlled, disciplined person with old-fashioned, pragmatic values. It's interesting then that the things that have survived of her are much more to do with pleasure, enjoyment, and beauty than industry. Her factories didn't last, but the houses she built for the workers are still here, as is the handball alley, one of the theatres, and the library she filled with books. This brings me back to this idea of control, of how we can plan our lives with great and assiduous care, but ultimately, what happens to us? What survives of us after we have gone? Well, there's just no knowing.
St. John's Bridge here in Kilkenny City. Every night this pulse of life across weekends especially. Stags, hens, people coming and going. All this journey of life and the River Nore and all its power running under the bridge. The castle behind us, this bounce of light from the River Court Hotel, that string of lights along, the tide carrying it all downstream. To travel in Kilkenny is to travel in time. The medieval city has a night beat of youth and celebration. Old and new meet and mingle with an ease that somehow puts a perspective on the forces of history. And through the county, the incessant flow of water, the three sisters, the Nore, Barrow and Shore, carry sustenance, danger, possibility. There's hope and determination in that conjoined beat.
Come on, girl.
I think she'd scratch your face up.